You are listening to the MD Clone Talk Data Podcast, the show that uncovers healthcare insights, technology innovation, and discovers new ways to understand data possibilities. We bring together industry leaders, customers, and innovators to drive the future of care delivery. Let's talk data.
Welcome to another episode of Talk Data, the podcast where we delve into the latest trends, insights, and success stories in the world of data and healthcare. I'm your host, Daniel Blumenthal, and today we're excited to be joined by our very own, John Elliott. John leads our sales operations here in North America. John, it's great to have you for your inaugural Talk Data podcast.
Thank you for having me, Daniel. I'm excited.
Today's topic is something we know well at MD Clone, synthetic data. Today, we're going to look at how the market is leveraging and can be leveraging synthetic data towards a variety of goals. So, John, before we get into details, what are your initial thoughts when you hear the word synthetic data? What does it mean to the healthcare ecosystem that you engage with every day?
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. When I think of synthetic data and the impact in the healthcare ecosystem, I really think about other use cases for synthetic data across other industries. Healthcare is often a laggard in technology, and I think synthetic data or data in general is not any different. So, statistically, it's representative, it's privacy preserving for data. So that's the key components that makes it so critical, are so important in for healthcare. But you hear things like in auto manufacturing, and we're talking about autonomous driving and the need for synthetic data to simulate how autonomous cars are going to react, whether that's a yellow line or a white line, a curb or a pedestrian. That's one use of synthetic data for almost machine learning capabilities. And with synthetic data in healthcare, you have to have this privacy preserving component. And there's a need for data, for training, and making technologies that have been around for a while, making those more sophisticated and really scaling them to the ability to where they'll have a bigger impact across the ecosystem. So I think just in the big context of synthetic data in healthcare, I think the time is now. It's been available. It's been utilized in other industries for slightly different objectives. And now there's a lot of constraints, a lot of pressure around the utilization today in healthcare.
Let's go back to the top. We've recorded several episodes that touch on synthetic data, including some that really dive into the technical details. But for listeners who might not be familiar, just how would you explain synthetic data in simple terms?
Yeah, so it has the same statistical pattern. So that's the most critical component, right? So traditionally you think of in healthcare, de-identified data. It's another means of essentially de-identifying data where maybe the the variables that would be impacting statistical correlation are not changed, but it's not identifiable, but without being the traditional de-identification, because there's a means and a really good risk in healthcare today for re-identifying de-identified data. And that doesn't exist with synthetic data.
All right. So we know what synthetic data is. We've had your initial gut reaction to the market and where it's going, but let's break down some of the biggest benefits. What do you see as some of those key points?
I'd say the biggest benefit really comes around that ability to the privacy preserve and being able to collaborate and having access to data. So access, there's also the speed component. So having access can accelerate the speed and accelerate or increase the volume of those who are engaging with the data. So instead of that being a small cohort of statisticians within a health system, or maybe an analytics team or IT, you can expand that to the clinicians who are the subject matter experts and traditionally have had a barrier from being able to access the data to be able to test maybe the hypothesis they have as a subject matter expert.
Those clinicians, as you said, in a collaborative sense, need to be working on data with others in the industry, whether data scientists, data analysts, whether other researchers inside their organization, outside of their organization. What do you see as that benefit in terms of collaboration, especially in terms of being able to work outside of your organization with others in the field?
Absolutely. I mean, this, I think, goes back to the origin or the original intent of even interoperability, right? When you're able to share and collaborate with those outside of your organization, inherently, I mean, all the rules would say that you're going to identify, you're going to innovate at a much more rapid pace. You're bringing additional perspectives, different stakeholders in the ecosystem that maybe traditionally have been siloed, whether that be life science, whether that be the providers, whether that be payers, employers, patients, right? Think of all those as personas within the ecosystem. And if you're able to collaborate and share data across those stakeholders or those personas, I believe that we'll achieve improved patient outcomes at a much higher rate, and all as well as hospital operations use cases.
That's a great transition, I think, into giving an example. What do you think would be a top example? What's a go-to example that you like to use when you're sharing? What is synthetic data? How is it used? How is it used collaboratively? Operational, research, education. What's a good example that you like to point to?
Yeah, a good example of synthetic data, the utilization of synthetic data in the healthcare ecosystem. I'll start with the simplest and maybe most obvious. We've touched on a little bit would be research. There are many associations, or collaborations, learning health networks, maybe another phrase that you hear in the market, where you have a specialty, where you have a limited population within one system. But when you're able to, and I'll think pancreatic cancer, for example, it's a fairly, I would say a rare disease, but it's a very small, fairly small population within cancer diagnoses. So when you have a group of systems that already have, are already connected and are doing some type of collaboration, and then you're able to facilitate the sharing of data, then you're going to really improve the output of that collaboration or that that network. Another one is as simple as utilizing synthetic data in the classroom. So for educational purposes. So the first one I reference is more health systems collaborating on a small population, and you're able to aggregate those together or view those as a larger pool, then you know, you're able to do more analysis, right? In the classroom, it's more about how are you training the next generation of clinicians and statisticians, informationists, informatics folks, to be better. You can test things. You can to help improve the knowledge base in the market around really statistics. Yeah. Another example of synthetic data, I think, would be this it's like accelerate feasibility studies in the life science space. You can simulate trial populations that are much more quicker than traditionally. And I give an example may help. If we go back to the research example, if we think of the current state. So the current state, most folks are familiar with the eligibility, the IRB process. It's a pretty standard term, and it requires a very specific description that's going to, you know, the definition, and when we think of PHI, is I only get access to exactly what I need access to, right? And nothing more. And there are certain, that's very appropriate, and it's helped us be secure and aligns with HIPAA. However, that rarely, or I should say regularly, it leads to another question and repeating that process for requesting access to data. And that stifles, and that's really the problem, is, you know, the speed in which you can do the analysis and innovate. With synthetic data, you don't have that limitation of the IRB process.
With that in mind, I thought to bring up some of the perhaps more innovative approaches that are enabled with the use of synthetic data. When I say innovative approaches, I mean leveraging the innovation that's out there in the market and thinking about the ability to really release data, to release this knowledge base that we have collected, spent so much time collecting, to a much wider audience. So thinking about things like hackathons, datathons, opportunities to release data to smart people in the world. Can you speak to some examples that you've seen where that's been impactful?
Sure. So just, you know, firsthand experience, we work with our partners often on these datathons, hackathons. We've participated in various industry engagements such as AMIA, where we're on site at the annual AMIA symposium, helping our clients facilitate a hackathon or a datathon. That really ties back to, I think, maybe the education use case that we talked about, right? The learnings that can come out of that, just with that access, allowing not only end users and these subject matter experts to get access to the data, but again, collaborating across organizations. And Daniel, I'm going to chime in with one piece. I'm not sure it was exactly relevant to your last question, but and you're probably going here, but related to just AI in the industry, synthetic data provides, I'd say, is foundational in a sense, because, and I'll tie it back to that industry example I gave, right? There wasn't even healthcare, right? As we look at whether it's an agent or we look at a hub model, or we look at so many use cases around implementing AI. AI within healthcare, just like other technologies, right? Slower to adopt because of the risks, the natural inherent risks with patient lives. You have to be able to test the AI, right? So having synthetic data to facilitate AI development, AI validation, mitigating, you know, hallucinating agents, right? This is infrastructurally, synthetic data is critical in this evolution of AI in healthcare.
You indeed preempted my contractually obligated question, or my contractually obligated phrase that I have to bring up, which is the phrase artificial intelligence. So thank you for going there. I do want to bring up some of the challenges that we see with synthetic data. What do you hear in the market? What are some of the initial questions? What are the concerns people have when they hear synthetic data?
Some of the concerns that people have when they hear synthetic data, it's ironic, right? The first reaction would be, it's not real, right? Which is probably a natural reaction. It's hard to argue that intuition, maybe. That's a fair question, right? But there has been others in the industry that have written extensive publications on the validity of synthetic data and research and utilization in healthcare informatics. And that's really is what gives us the confidence. That's what gives our clients the confidence to lead with this type of technology and the different use cases we've already referred to. But you can go back to many industry publications, going back to AMIA many years ago, what we would call like a groundbreaking study, where we would say, hey, this statistically reacts the same. Right? And you've spoken with others on the podcast that can elaborate on that much more than I. But at the highest sense, you know, that is the concern, is it's not real. How can I use this in a real environment? Right? How can I use this to actually test something when it's not real? Right? So that would, I would say, the number one concern.
The challenges that you spoke of there, John, really get at a lot of the initial reaction that people have to synthetic data. Does it work? Can I trust it? Let's move to the challenges of the health system much higher up. What are some of the challenges that the health system faces, or healthcare ecosystem even more broadly faces, that you think synthetic data can help address?
Yeah, this one, I'm really passionate about this one. In my role in engaging with the market and our team, engaging directly with the market every day, we're often faced with constraints in the health system and the exact current state. And you have to put yourself in the position of a health system administrator, put yourself in the day-to-day business of healthcare. And today, I'd say it continues to be complex, if not the most complex as ever, with major constraints. I'll give a few examples. So say the adjustments in, if your payer mix is predominantly Medicaid and you're a safety net facility, and your large percentage of your payer mix is Medicaid, this is a substantial constraint. What does that constraint do to your organization? Sure, it's going to drive the need for efficiencies in your core competencies of providing care. But it also, another way to look at it is, okay, that's the efficiency play. The other is, how can I look at other channels? How can I look at other ways, safe ways to leverage data, right? So just from a simple business perspective, if I have less revenue or reimbursement coming in, what else do I have? What other resources do I have to add to the top line for my system. And obviously being safe, you need to be safe, but there are many safe ways, and synthetic data can help facilitate safe ways to leverage data for a health system. Another constraint that we see in the health system or health ecosystem today is around NIH grant funding. So substantial cuts to NIH grant funding. Not only our clients and some of our longest standing academic medical centers, but this is a constraint across all academic medical centers and others, where it's a primary source and capital to support research. And as we've talked about the many use cases for synthetic data in research, I'll try and keep this at a very high level, but I'm optimistic that with synthetic data, there will be efficiencies in data collaboration where you can be more competitive. Well, one, you can be more efficient and you can be more competitive for the limited funds that are now available. And we've seen this before this constraint, right? It's always been competitive going after and achieving and being awarded, being a principal investigator and being awarded a fund, an NIH funding. Now it's just, I'd say it's been exponentiated, that competitiveness because of the availability. We just think economics, right?
We've heard before from our customers about how they're leveraging synthetic data to value, especially in new revenue opportunities. Can you share an example?
With grants, they're it's not a consistent, each grant has its nuances, right? It's not always 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, it can be. But across our sample size and our clients, I'm confident in saying that, you know, achieving $10 million annually in additional grant funding per client is the number that we track to. And some examples of what those are. So our clients for improving opioid abuse, that was one of the grants awarded, paramedicine, as well as wellness and maternal child health. And how is, again, does that tie back to synthetic data, or how did MD Clone synthetic data help facilitate or achieve the awarding of those grants? And it goes back to really where we started the conversation, Daniel, which is value synthetic data is speed and access. So the access to the data so that they were able to win those awards. If in a traditional way, they may not have won those awards because of the time to access the data, right? The submission timeline may have come and passed. I'd say to add to that, it would be that not only has the timeline come and gone, but the resources to get to the data were also higher, right? So human resources, other technology stacks, I reference REDCap as a predominant player in the, you know, database of research database, right? It's human resources that are sifting through data, again, with a very specific IRB criteria, right? And constraints on that data set, right? And then you go back and you have to do it again if it's not right or it leads to another question or hypothesis. So having synthetic data allows you to do the process and applying for these and ultimately getting awarded, applying for them before the submission timeline is over. Daniel, another just kind of industry dynamic that we haven't touched on, or we've maybe spoke to at a very high level, but want to maybe reiterate, is with this administration, there's certainly been an impact very, very recently, an impact and focus around interoperability. Interoperability in healthcare and coming from out of health policy is not new, right? It goes back all the way to meaningful use. And even further, I'm sure, but meaningful use, I feel like is within everybody's, a lot of that was a big one, right? Driving electronic medical records. Then you have things like the High Tech Act, which I believe really are around patient, the goal of having a longitudinal patient record, despite the system that was providing the care of the provider or the technology in which the system uses. I believe this push from this administration around interoperability will indirectly impact and change the openness, will drive creativity and innovation around the need to collaborate with across organizations, across technologies, with patient data. So, you know, this administration is not saying, hey, everybody needs to go use synthetic data, but there's certainly an emphasis on driving interoperability to the real goal. And by doing that, I believe it's changing the dynamic of the stakeholders in the ecosystem to where technology like synthetic data will be more, continue to be more adopted, and there will continue to be additional use cases for synthetic data for collaboration and innovation.
Thanks, John, for jumping around to such a diverse array of ways in which synthetic data can impact your organization across healthcare. I think the diversity is really exciting, and the place we're in today with what can be done with data really opens so many more opportunities for different users, different researchers, clinicians, administrators, students, tech developers to leverage data towards so many innovations, new opportunities, new services, new ways to improve patient health. It's what we're passionate about at MD Clone, and thank you for sharing your thoughts in this exciting field.
Yeah, thank you, Daniel. What you just shared there is what I'm passionate about in my career, and working with all of those stakeholders, understanding the perspectives or personas of the stakeholders and how they how the system works, right? And there's plenty of room for improvement. And I think now more than ever, we've touched on many of them today, those constraints are not going away, right? They're only increasing. Unfortunately, there are technologies, right? So it's a forcing function. Maybe it goes back to the historical chicken or the egg, right? Does policy drive the change, or does the innovation drive the policy? I don't know if the right answer to that, but I do believe that we're now more than ever in healthcare, there are means of technology that will help improve and ultimately lower costs and improve outcomes.
As always, if you'd like to learn more about MD Clone, you can visit our website, mdclone.com, or reach out to someone, especially if you're fortunate enough to have MD Clone at your organization. See you on the next episode of MD Clone Talk Data. And thanks again for listening.